Hello and welcome to the Donor Egg Mama podcast for soul-led intended parents considering a donor egg pathway and parents of donor egg conceived children. I'm your host, Adele O'Connor, a qualified fertility coach and proud donor egg mama. I'm just a normal mum that went on an extraordinary journey to conceive. I hope this podcast helps you in some way to break free from emotional overwhelm, face your fears, and find the courage to move forward and bring that baby that's on your heart into your reality. Let's talk openly about our emotions and all topics donor egg IVF. Thanks for listening. Before I jump into this next episode, I just have to tell you about my latest project. I'm so excited about it. I've set up a 3-tier community membership. This is a membership subscription for women worldwide. So whether you're an intended parent considering a donor egg pathway, you don't know what way to turn and you're just not sure whether you should do it or not, this is for you. Or perhaps you're in the thick of the journey. Perhaps you've got your first embryo transfer coming up, or perhaps you've just had a failed embryo transfer and are having to start over again. Or maybe you're in early pregnancy. Wherever you're at, this is an opportunity for you to be connected with others. You don't have to do this by yourself, and you can be coached by me on your journey. The membership includes 2 regular live interactive Zoom calls per month. Think Q&As, womb healing, guided meditations, hot seat coaching, workshops, and guest expert speakers on all topics donor egg IVF, providing you with the tools to help you break free from overwhelm, to help you feel less isolated on your journey, to fast track your knowledge and give you confidence and empower you on your journey to move forward and help bring the baby that's on your heart and into your arms. If this sounds like the support you've been searching for, please don't hesitate to complete the waitlist form in the show notes or head to my website or Insta page, Donor Egg Mama. Hello and welcome back to the Donor Egg Mama podcast and series 2, Donor Egg Mama Talks, stories of hope and inspiration. I'm your host, Adele O'Connor, IVF warrior and proud Donor Egg Mama. My mission is to help women who are either considering using donor eggs or in the thick of their journey to break free from overwhelm, gain clarity and confidence to move forward on their journeys to parenthood. Some women with low AMH levels come to the realization that they may need to use donor eggs after a long and exhausting battle with IVF and trying many different methods to create healthy embryos with their own eggs. They may have been told by a specialist that it's a good idea to use a donor egg early on in their journey, but they're just not ready mentally to give up on using their own eggs. Perhaps, dear listeners, you recognize yourself in this scenario. This was definitely true for my guest today, Tracy, who is 43 and joins us from Midwest USA. Tracy, thank you so much for joining us today. I understand that you were 34 when you started your journey. Can you tell the listeners a summary of what your journey looked like?
Yes. So I was 34. I thought it would be no problem. I wasn't married yet. I was getting married when I was 35, but we're like, we know we want to do this. Let's start sooner than later. And nothing happened. And then we got married and nothing happened. And so then after a year and a half, somewhere in there, we decided, okay, we should probably do something. So we did acupuncture and went the more natural route first and nothing. And then we went to a fertility clinic, the first one. And we were both like, whoa, it was really overwhelming. They're like, come in right now, next cycle, we'll do it. And we were both like, whoa, that was a lot very quickly. And so we waited a couple months and then we did it again. And we went to I went to my gynecologist and they did some blood tests and they were able to see that my AMH was really low. And so I got that news on the train going home from work and was like, trying to hold myself together in public, you know, all how that goes. And so then we went, she referred us to another fertility clinic. We went there and we tried IUIs and IVF, got pregnant, miscarriages. That happened a bunch of times, different doctors. But this first doctor did say, I recommend using donor eggs. And in my mind, I was like, no way, mister. I'm going to do this on my own. I don't need any help. You're just a bad doctor. I'm going to find someone that can help me more. And so then I found this doctor in Arizona, and I'm from Chicago area. So it's like a 4-hour flight, all this stuff. But this doctor was actually able to get eggs from me. Like I did get eggs further than I got in any other way, had me do crazy things. And then, yeah, my story goes for years and years. So
were you referred to this doctor by somebody? Because it's such a long way to travel. How did you find out about him?
I found out through a friend who had infertility and was basically like in menopause. And this doctor like brought her back to life and she has this beautiful, happy girl. And so I was like, yes, I'm going to see him and he's going to do amazing things. And he is an amazing doctor. Like in the US, doctors don't really meet with you for a long time. And this doctor sat with my husband and I for 2 hours, mapped out like all my medical stuff. He was very thorough and had a silver lining of the whole infertility journey. I got really healthy, healthier than I ever was in my life. But you're determined. So you do all the things that they tell you to do.
I've got your notes here that you wrote to me. He told you to exercise between 4 and 7 every day in the evening. Yes. That's quite unusual. Yeah.
It was something about, I honestly, it gave me a lot of things to do and I lost track of what they were all for, but it's something about the hormones between 4 and 7. And okay, I did it.
And then no added sugar, increase your protein, which is, that's really good. Obviously great health advice. And then he asked you to do a bee stinging protocol. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Neither my husband or I had ever heard of this before. He's, if you were here in Arizona, I'd just call up my bee guy, but I'm sure there's one out by where you are. And I'm doing all this extra stuff. So my husband says, he says, oh, don't worry about it. I'll figure it out. I'll find a bee guy. So it was, the theory of it is you get stung by a bee and then your immune system like revs up, and we wanted that to happen. My husband, he found a bee guy, but I came home from work one day and there's this box by the door and it says like fragile live bees. And it's just this tiny little box. And I was like, oh, this is the bee guy. Okay. And I bring it up and then I go off to the gym because I've got to go and exercise. And I come home and my cat's just like staring down the box and the bees like came to life while I was exercising. And then my husband came home and I was like, tell me about this box. And he's, oh, they came. Great. Fantastic. Okay. We're going to do it tonight. And I'm like, yeah, we're not really doing this tonight. This isn't really going to happen. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to be the bee guy. And I was like, oh, I watched a lot of YouTube videos. It's going to be fine. And he opens it and it's just a box of 60 bees, 60. And it comes with this long tweezers. And I was like, bees are going to be flying around our house. And so I quarantined with my cat in the back bedroom. And then he's okay, I've got one ready. Here it is. And I come out and I'm like, oh my gosh, are we doing it? It became real all of a sudden. I'm going to get stung by a bee. So then he like puts it on my lower back and he does it. And I had forgotten the pain of a bee sting. And I was like, oh my gosh, freaking out. And then finally I was like, okay, take it off. It's done. It's done. And that bee sacrificed its life for my fertility. But the funniest part is then we were like, whoa, that was something. And he then is, I want to do it. And I was like, what? Yeah, it's supposed to be help your immune system. Maybe it'll help my like tight back. And so he's, I'll get another one. And then you put it on my back. I was like, okay. And at that point, then some bees got loose. And so there was like 40 minutes of bee wrangling, getting them back to in there. And then he had been, when I was like, oh my gosh, he'd been like, come on, it's not even been like a minute. You can do it. You know what? It's not that bad. And so then when I stung him, which I took great pleasure in doing, it was the best. He was like howling and in pain and we had to rip it off. And then after this whole ordeal, we felt like we had just done drugs together or something. It was a moment, a memory that we will always have. And then we had 58 more bees like buzzing in our house in a box. And I don't know how he got rid of them, but that was part of his job and he did that.
So did you just do the one sting? You didn't continue?
I just did the one.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Done. Wipe my hands of that task. Check.
Because those bees were pretty angry by then as well, I reckon.
In this little little tiny box. I felt really bad for them. I don't know. I hope they're like buzzing in a field one day. The next spring I came home and there was a big like bee's nest right by our door. And I like to think that they like made a home.
Yeah, that is a pretty unusual protocol. I've not heard of that one before. I'd be really interested to know if there's any other listeners that have tried the bee sting protocol. Any other doctors out there recommending that? I've actually seen I don't know if it was the Gwyneth Paltrow thing that she does on health methods. I have seen a documentary on Netflix or something about using bee sting. So I have seen it. So yeah, I'm aware of it. I'm sure it helps for many different, I'm sure people have huge benefits from it, but I've just never heard of it. For the fertility journey, but it can be immune issues, can't it? So that sort of from getting pregnant. So good on you, doctor. That's a really thinking out the box. And then he also suggested using a tanning bed as well.
Yeah. And I was talking with you in the beginning about this. I had always been told my whole life, never go in a tanning bed. They'll give you skin cancer. It's so bad. And so he told me this and I was like, so I should put sunscreen on, right? He's no, that will defeat the whole purpose. And it was for, I'm pretty sure it was for my vitamin D levels were really low. And that it was like 3 minutes, three times a week. And the tanning place thought I was cuckoo going in there. They're like, that's it? Are you sure? No more? And I'm like, no, just a good quick 3 minutes in and out. So they thought I was like, because it didn't do anything. It wasn't for looks. And yeah, so that was another wild thing. But the doctor was great. I got good, healthy, quote unquote, eggs from the IVF cycles I did with him, but unfortunately it didn't work for us.
Yeah. So he had some unorthodox methods that actually got you some good results. But unfortunately, tell me, you did 7 IVF cycles, at least 10 IUIs in total. Is that right?
I think so. I didn't count in there a little bit, but something like that.
And that was a 9-year journey. Is that right?
It was a 7-year journey.
7-year.
Yeah, because my daughter's 2 now.
Yes.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. No. Okay, cool. And what was the turning point for you from doing all of these IUI rounds, all these IVF rounds with your own eggs? What was your turning point?
I remember exactly where I was. I was on the train riding to work, listening to a podcast of Roseanne Austin. She's like a fertility cheerleader. And she was talking to another woman who was going through challenges and feeling defeated. And she said something like, what's more important to you, having your own genetics or having a baby? And that's when it like clicked for me. And I thought, oh my gosh, I just want a baby. And so that's when I was like, okay, if this next cycle doesn't work, we're going to do donor eggs. And I was like, at that point, I was like, welcomed it with open arms. And it felt a big relief. Once I had made that decision, I felt so just a weight lifted and relieved. And it was the best. I wish I had made the choice sooner. I think of that a lot now because it was such a long journey. I think, oh, maybe we would have had more children or done, but it worked out great and no regrets.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. And there's also, it's interesting because you feel that relief and that joy that there is another option. There's an option that could really work for us. And at the same time, there is that kind of letting go of the loss of the dream of having that mini me child and all of the, sort of ancestral history and all of that genetic line can be a grief
it
as well.
It turns out the mini me, I still got a mini me. Like she has certain features of mine. We didn't really go for our donor, look for matching features, but I think it's just more, she spends time with me and there are things she does and I'm like, that's me.
The mirroring and the, the facial mirroring, the body posture and all those kind of really almost unconscious traits that kind of make somebody up, the way you hold your mouth, move your eyebrows, just things like that are incredibly, they start to form your face with their own features. And obviously your husband's genes as well. It's a really interesting thing. And epigenetics apparently
is
apparently it's a 30% impact on your individual environment. Your unique environment has a 30% impact on how the genes are turned on or off. So yeah,
I didn't know it was 30%. I love epigenetics. They're a true thing. It's just so special. It's so special.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So tell me, how did you go about choosing a donor? What was your thought processes involved in that? How did that kind of, what did it all look like from the moment you decided, right, that's it?
We wanted to use like a clinic, find our donor through a clinic. So that helped us decide. And then we found one clinic and I found a donor that just, I was just mostly interested in finding like a young, healthy woman. And if I was going to be picky, I'd say, oh, blue eyes, maybe some German ancestry, but like, I actually wasn't that picky. And then we found a donor with one clinic and I started taking my meds and she had just picked up hers. And then she like vanished and I was so upset. And so then once the clinic broke that news to me, I was like, okay, I'm done with you, clinic. Move into another one. And I found a great clinic and it would just, everything felt right when I walked into that one. It just, the people were really friendly, like really, it was just a different feel. I had been to every fertility clinic in the Chicagoland area and beyond. And I just, this clinic felt really good. The doctor again met with us for a long time. And once I got the donors, like their website or whatever, I found a few that I thought would be really great. And one of them was available. And I just had a great sign that it was gonna, I just felt good about the whole thing. And it was for the first time, I got so worn down with the process of the fertility journey. And it was like, I had hope again. And that was so, I think it was really powerful and a positive impact on the whole pregnancy, like the whole making it work and being successful. It's just that renewed hope, like, okay, my body can do this now. And so it was a good thing.
That's amazing. And so you saw like profile pictures of the, is it still an anonymous donor or known or open ID?
Yes, it's 1019. I don't know her name. It's an anonymous donor. We did look into a couple of places in Poland. My husband is Polish, but it just was really hard communicating and also the travel and everything. So we stayed here, but yeah, you could see pictures. I know sometimes people can't see pictures. So we did see a couple of pictures and I wish that I would have kept them or I don't have them now, but we saw pictures and their family history and everything like that. And then just their interests. And yeah, I think about this donor girl that I don't know every day. Yeah. I sound so like a little creepy, but I think about her and just, she's the best karma coming her way. It's so special that people do this. They give a part of them to like literally give us a family. It's so special. I feel just such gratitude for this woman, but he's out there.
That's beautiful. And what was the age of your donor? Do you know that?
She was 28.
28. Yeah.
28. Okay. Yeah. She hadn't had children of her own, was looking like to go to school for physical therapy. And we did it right before COVID. And so we like got in right under the radar. Like we started our cycle Friday and everything shut down on Monday. So we were able to finish it. And I'm so grateful.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've heard some stories of people doing it all through COVID and everything. So yeah, amazing. And so once you'd made that decision and you found your donor, how like soon did it all happen? What was the kind of time scale after that?
I want to say it was like 2 months, maybe. I had to get, for this new clinic, I had a couple of things I had to do. Like I had to get a mammogram. I had to have a surgery. I had a lot of surgeries during this. One of the clear it out, make sure it's all good in there things, and then they could do it. And so
amazing. So it all went quite fast and you had a successful first transfer. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. And I had 5 or 6 miscarriages before. So the fact that it was like so smooth sailing, it was, I can't believe it. It was just so special. It made me, I'm just so grateful. I don't have words. I think about how this just changed our life. And I really feel that if we didn't have a donor egg, like use a donor egg, and I wouldn't have a baby. I wouldn't have our gal, and she's the best.
Oh, it's just so amazing. Yeah, so happy for you and for it to be such a long journey for this transfer to work first time. And how was the pregnancy for you? So emotionally, were you able to enjoy your pregnancy, or did you still feel a lot of anxiety? How was that for you?
I think I'm a glass person. Don't break me, because I was very careful about everything, probably more than a regular person would be, just because I had so many losses before. But it was just so, I was very happy about it. Every day that I was pregnant and I woke up and was like, I'm pregnant. Like I just took it day by day, but really valued that moment of being pregnant. And I got huge, and I got like all these things that I would say maybe traditionally pregnant women don't enjoy. But I was like, yes, look at my swollen ankles, look at my stretch marks, just because it was like, I did it. And it was like a weird trophy. Like I celebrated those, my body's changes, because it was just something that I had wanted for so long.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. I was a bit similar, although I had like nausea and dreadful reflux. I was still like, oh, I just love all this. I love it as well.
Yeah. And even now still, I have the separated abs, and people are like, oh, you'll never wear a 2-piece again. And I'm like, oh no, I do. It's just like proof that I did it. But like, I'm just so grateful. I like those proofs that with the help, I was able to do it.
Yeah. Wonderful. So you did enjoy your pregnancy. You were able to enjoy it. And did you have a smooth birth experience?
I want to say yes, but in reality, it wasn't. It took 3 days. I had to be induced, and it took 3 days. And then she came out, and I like was peeing myself left and right, and she wasn't breastfeeding, and I hadn't eaten in 3 days, and I was like exhausted, all of that. It was like I got run over by a semi, but it's so worth it. If anybody's like getting induced, don't be scared. Most people don't have it last 3 days.
Yeah, you got through it, and you were supported the whole way by a good medical team. I'm presuming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so also a big, huge part of your journey was the financial stress of the journey. Obviously, you went through many protocols, which would have been extremely expensive. Tell me about the sacrifices you had to go through financially.
Yes. So expensive here in the US. I know it's expensive everywhere, but I feel like the US is not very friendly to those infertile folks. I took a job that I used to have a cafe, and I had sold it for not just for like insurance reasons, but for other reasons too. And I was taking some temp jobs, trying to figure out what I was going to do. And this company had really good insurance benefits. And so I took this job just working the front desk for a real estate investment company. And it was not a fun job, I will say that. And I had to do it for a long time. And I would sit there and I would imagine and just be like, suck it up. You're doing this because you're going to get a baby out of it. But they covered pretty much the insurance that I got covered all the IVFs and IUIs, and it covered also the donor eggs, the donor's expenses. A lot of insurance doesn't cover that here. So like you end up having to pay for the donor's IVF cycle, as well as the transfer and everything. And my insurance covered it. So we just had to pay the donor's fee, which, I mean, it's still a lot of money, but much more doable for us than we couldn't without this hellacious job. I wouldn't have been able to do any fertility treatments at all. that's what how I did it. And yeah, every time I thought about quitting, I would just be like, no, you don't have a baby yet, so you can't quit. So that's amazing. Just stuck with it. And then though the funny part is after I was pregnant and they had the insurance like meeting where they were talking about the what it's going to be for the next year, they're like, and our insurance is going to go up a little bit. You're going to have to pay a little bit. And that in my mind, I'm like, and that's because of me. Because of all the costs that I stacked up. But at that point, I knew that I was going to leave after my maternity.
Yeah, amazing. So yeah, you got to hand in your notice and go, bye-bye.
Yes. Oh, and it was the best feeling, just being able to like part ways. And as much as it was a bad job, it got me, it would like suited its purpose in my life. It got me what I needed. And I have a lot of crazy corporate work world stories now.
And I'm hearing, you know, so much emotional resilience, Tracy, through this journey. Did you have any sort of particular support to help you on your journey?
And I don't know. I'm really determined just by my nature. So if I set my mind to something, or if I go after it. And so that served me well in the infertility journey, whatever you call it. And they're just like, I listened to that Roseanne Austin podcast a lot, and I would just try and find stories of people like overcoming the odds, those kind of stories, and found inspiration from that. And I just knew I was determined. Like I knew that my baby was coming. Like I knew my baby's out there. It's trying to come, and I just have to like do the right thing. And then it came.
That's amazing. I'm really noticing a full circle moment here where you're saying that the story, listening to people's stories of hope and inspiration, helped you through that beautiful podcast, which I'll have to check out. And now you're sharing your story of hope and inspiration for other people. So that's really special.
And that's why when I saw your ad, or you're asking for people, I was like, me, sign me up. I really want to. And also there is this like shame around using a donor egg. And I feel like there used to be that about IVF, but not anymore. And now it's still there about using donor eggs. And it's like, why? And I want to like, I feel like the more people talk about it and are educated about it, it becomes more, less shame is associated with it. And so I'm very open about my journey with just people that I meet in the world, and everyone, I mean, all my friends and family know that how Viola came to be into the world. And that's the name of my daughter, how she came into the world. And yeah, I feel like the more people are open about it and don't have any shame about it, because there's no reason to have shame. It's just a beautiful thing that people do for each other. And yeah, just learn about it. There's maybe that stigma can go away and people can feel more comfortable both using a donor, being donor conceived, like all of that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's 100% why I felt so absolutely called to do this, to share people's stories of hope and inspiration, because I noticed that not really many people will talk about it because there is this feeling of shame. And I drew the same conclusion. Well, that used to be similar with IVF, and now that's normalized and we need to talk about this more. And I think because of the anonymous factor, that doesn't help, because the anonymous factor, it creates some kind of secrecy. So
right.
When that piece of legislation changes, and with DNA, ancestry DNA, and with the way AI and facial fractal imagery is all happening, I think anonymity is going to be a thing of the past going forward. And also because there is a money exchange. So I think these two things do cause those feelings of shame and secrecy, and that just feeling that my body didn't work, my body didn't do what everybody else can do really easily. Yeah, there's lots of different.
And I feel like a lot of people, they see that money exchange and they don't know the literal work it is that an IVF cycle is. That is work. You have to change. You can't drink. You have to like shots at this time, shots at this time. Don't miss one. And it's intense. And then you get all funky feeling and bloated. It's work. There's That's nothing right. fun about it. And that money is deserved.
100%. A woman's, egg donors need to be compensated for their time, their emotional sacrifice, their physical sacrifice, all of those things. Yeah, 100%. They need to be compensated. And and obviously it's all of the doctors and all of the meetings and consults. That will cost money.
Right. And it's actually inspired me to look into donating like plasma and blood and like things that I can donate, because obviously I'm not donating my eggs, but it's made me think about what other things could I donate that might be very impactful to someone else. And so that has my donor inspired me to want to donate blood and plasma and things like that.
Absolutely, because there is no shame. There's no taboo around donating anything, any other part of your body. It's just this thing around creating families. And I think if people understand the huge journey that women go on before they get to this point, then perhaps there wouldn't be so much judgment around it. And something else that's super inspiring about your story is I asked, is there anything, any therapies or self-care that helped you on your journey? And you told me that you took up figure skating.
Yes, I did. I was forgetting what I wrote in that section, but it's 100% true. I did, because I felt so unsuccessful and just like you put so much of yourself into this fertility process and trying, and it's like a slog and you work so hard and then you get zero results. And I found that to be the most like hard part of it for me. Just like, I always was like, I'm a very determined person. And if you put in 100% effort and do all the things, then you'll get results. And I was doing all the things and I was getting not any results. And it was so frustrating. But with the figure skating or just ice skating, it started just like, I'm going to learn to ice skate. It was like immediate progress. And it felt so good to see that, because I started like, I was like a wall clinger, just like holding on to the wall. And then after the first class, I was not holding on to the wall anymore. And it was like seeing the progress and, if I work really hard on my three turn and do it 8 zillion times, then I'll get it. And then it's like, you can actually see the results. And so I like that. So I think it could be, for me, it was figure skating, but maybe for someone else, it's some other thing. But I find it, I still do it. I stopped obviously when I got pregnant, but I picked it up again last year. And I just find it's just fun. And I like that I can see the result of my effort.
So beautiful. And a lovely thing to do with your daughter as well down the road. Yeah, so gorgeous. Oh my goodness, it's been so beautiful talking to you. I just want to wrap up with asking you, do you have any regrets at all, Tracy, about your journey?
No. Like I said, it got me really healthy. I learned so much about my body and my health, and I hadn't really, I guess, paid that much attention to the inner workings of like being a woman until my fertility journey. And so it very much connected me to that. I feel like I have a lot better knowledge about just everything related to fertility and like eating wise and exercise and everything. The only sort of regret that I have is actually that I didn't use donor eggs sooner. I feel like I could have gotten out of that job sooner, and I could have maybe had more children, maybe done it again. And yeah, I think if I had started using donor eggs sooner, we would definitely have tried using donor eggs again and have a sibling. But I'm just going to say, I'm really grateful we did it once and not push my luck. But yeah, that's the only thing. I remember I had just such like a body visceral reaction of F this doctor who told me, it was like an old man doctor. I was like, what do you know? And apparently he knew, but he just didn't have the greatest delivery of it. And so I guess I just wanted to make sure in my mind that I had tried everything that I could have tried. And then once I realized I didn't really, it wasn't really that genetic connection, I just really wanted to have the experience of being a mom and being having a baby.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's so beautiful. And if you had one tip to give to any listeners that are hearing your story, perhaps have low AMH levels themselves, what would you say?
I would say, oh, so many things come rushing into my head. Make sure you find a clinic that has a good lab. That was something that I wish that I had learned sooner after. I learned that at the tail end of my journey versus the front end, to look at I was just looking at like the statistics of the clinic and not necessarily the lab where all of this is done. And so I realized that's a really important part. And yeah, just stay hopeful, keep your hope alive that it will happen. Like, just don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt, just keep believing in yourself and your body, and that your body is not a failure. It's so easy to fall into that and be mad at your body. And it's trying so, so very hard to do everything to get the results that you're trying. You're pumping all the hormones into you doing, and your body's, what's happening? I'm trying. So just to be kind to yourself on the journey and just believe that it'll happen, and don't be ashamed of it. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's the best decision I have made in my whole life.
Oh, that's amazing. That's a great advice and tips. And sorry, there's one other thing that I want to ask you. How, your daughter's two, does she have any understanding of how she was brought into the world?
She does. So I got all, there's some books out there that I get and she reads those, but I also put a little photo album together of like my journey on like the day of the transfer and then throughout. And she asks to look at it all the time. And she knows, like the other day, a couple months back, she said to me, she was like, an angel woman and my mama's belly and daddy. And then there's Viola. And I was like, that's right. You did it. Like, I couldn't believe how she like grasped it. And she's obviously, she probably thinks that's how everybody came to the world, but it was just really, she definitely knows and very open with her about it. And we were telling her cousins, we were having a conversation, and her cousins who are like 8, and I think they were like 8 and 10 at the time. And they were like, wait a minute, their baby's frozen, talking about like the embryos. And they got, and I had to, oh, I guess that is a strange concept for like kids to know about. But I was like, yeah, it's potential. I didn't say it was baby. I was like, they're potential babies that are like a chance for them. And because we were talking to them about how Viola came into the world and everything. Yeah. And I'll keep the conversation open. And I'm fully prepared for her to say things like, you're not my mom, or do like when she's a teenager or whatever. And at first I like, and because of course I'm like, imagine 20 years out. That's just like how I go. But I was like, oh, that's going to hurt so much. But now I don't think it will at all. I think it will just be like, oh, she's a teenager saying that. But she knows 100% that she was wanted. Like, that's a big, I feel like that's a huge deal for a kid to know that they're so wanted, and that they were like, them coming into the world was such a happy celebration. And I think that's special that she gets to know that she was really a desired child and made our family complete.
100%. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there by saying, going back to our discussion about shame and the way you talk about your journey, you talk about it with such joy and celebration, recognizing your determination and your resilience on doing everything that you could, taking the shitty job with the great insurance, doing what you could to move forward, keep resilient, keep strong, and not giving up until you got the goal of your beautiful baby and family. And that is something to be celebrated. And yeah. I can see by the fact that you've spoken about it so openly with everybody, you've come to that realization. That is something to be celebrated. And then when we have that feeling around celebration of our own journey, and we're completely open with our children, then they feel that sense of celebration about themselves as well. And we're dispelling all of those awful feelings of shame and secrecy and for our children as well.
Every single time I have shared with a woman about both my infertility journey and the fact that I used a donor egg, it immediately opens up. They either tell me like, oh my gosh, I did IVF. I never was going to say anything, but I like, they then feel very comfortable to talk about it too. Or one woman at our gym class, her like little gym class was saying like, oh my gosh, you look just like your daughter. And by the way, I soak up those compliments. I just am like, thank you very much. But then I say, she's actually used a donor egg. And it like, people's reactions are like, whoa. And I just try and use those opportunities to educate people and be like, and look at how normal we are, like relatively speaking, that it's not something like so like far out there or hidden. And many people, I think many people do this. They just don't talk about it. So every time I've been open, I've also been rewarded with the gift of another woman's story or journey. Or either they say, like, oh, I struggled too. Or like my friend used a donor egg. And it's just nice to open that conversation. And it never would open if everybody keeps quiet about it. And I don't know, I just think it's important to talk about it and to share so that everybody can just learn and know that this is a normal thing. And that's why your podcast is so beautiful, that you're doing this.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. It's been so incredible to talk to you, Tracy. It really has. And just to see the beautiful joy on your face and see that you're obviously such a happy mom and that you got the family that you desired so much. So yeah, thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing your beautiful story. And yeah, I'm sure we'll stay connected.
Yes. And thank you so much. And if there's anything in your work journey or whatever that I can continue to do to help spread the news of this or whatever, let me know, because I'm on board.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, it would mean the world to me if you could give me a 5-star review and let me know your thoughts. And of course, if you know anyone that would benefit from listening, please share it with them. Until next time, remember, you don't have to navigate the dark nights of this journey alone. There's a community of women waiting here to cheerlead you on and support you as we all work together to bring the baby that's on our hearts and in our dreams, earthside and into our arms. See you next week.